We now enter three of the most difficult chapters of the entire New Testament, Romans 9 through 11. We are venturing into what we call in theology election, predestination, and the sovereignty of God. There is no way we can discuss with clarity all of these important words in detail in our brief time together, but we can at least introduce them. As we start today in Romans 9, let's be challenged by the verses ahead. First, we need to brush up on our Old Testament stories to figure out what Paul is talking about. Paul starts with the Genesis story of Rebekah and Isaac's children, Jacob and Esau, and something God did after they were born. That something had nothing to do with the children, but with God's character. Here it is in Romans 9, 10 through 14. There was Rebekah also when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau, the twins? Esau is the older and Jacob is the younger. Who is older is important. Why? The book of Genesis is a window into what cultures were like before the revelation of the Bible. One thing we see clearly on is the widespread practice of primogeniture. That's when the oldest son inherits all the family's wealth. That is how they ensure the family kept its status and place in society. The second or third son got nothing or very little. And here is what I want you to see on the sovereignty of God. Pause for a moment first. What is the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God is God exercising his prerogative to do whatever he pleases with his creation because he created everything. He can do this because it belongs to him. God does it by virtue of ownership. For example, if you come into my house and said, I don't like the way you decorated this room, you should put the furniture here against this wall. My response would be, when you start buying the furniture you want to move and paying the mortgage, then we can consider your opinions and viewpoints. Right now, your views mean nothing because I am the owner. See, God is in charge of this planet, so he can do whatever he wants. Daniel 4:35 puts it this way, he does as he pleases. That's sovereignty. Why doesn't that bother me? Because God is all-wise, all-loving, and all-powerful. I can trust his sovereignty. I don't trust any man's sovereignty because they don't have the character and nature to wield that kind of power. As Charles Spurgeon says, cheer up, Christian. Things are not left to chance. No blind fate rules the world. God hath purposes, and those purposes are fulfilled. God hath plans, and those plans are wise and can never be dislocated. Or Corrie ten Boom puts it simply, God doesn't have problems, only plans. There is never any panic in heaven. So back to our verse. God chose not the oldest son to carry out his plans, but the younger one. That is countercultural. We should be saying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, not Jacob. Culture, though, is not in charge. God is in charge. Throughout the Bible, when God chooses someone to work through, he chooses whomever he wants. And in this case, Paul reminds us that he chose the younger sibling in Genesis. Think for a moment who else God chooses. He chose Abel over Cain. He chose Isaac over Ishmael. He chose David over seven other brothers. Time after time, he chose not the oldest, not the one the world would expect and reward, never the one from Jerusalem, as it were, but always the one from Nazareth. Then Paul finishes the sovereignty of God through thought with these verses. This is not Romans 9, 14 through 16. So what does all this mean? Are we saying that God is unfair? Of course not. He had every right to say to Moses, I will be merciful to whomever I choose, and I will show compassion to whomever I wish. Again, this proves that God's choice doesn't depend on how badly someone wants it or tries to earn it, but it depends on God's kindness and mercy. Let me close with these powerful words from David Kawad. The sovereignty of God is a sweet pillow that you can lay your head at night on. It is a beautiful truth, not only that God is in control over all, but is also working everything out, the good and the bad, for your good and his glory. This sweet doctrine is medicine for the soul that you can take in any season of life.